I am inadequate. I am not enough. My skills and abilities, my intellect and wisdom, the work of my hands, the quality of who I am as a person just doesn't cut it. There are things that are required of me that I do not have. There are things that are needed from me as a person by others that I cannot provide. There are things that as a father, a husband, a businessman, a pastor, a friend, that I fall short in on a regular basis. I don't even follow Jesus well. And I claim to do that as like my main thing. I am grossly inadequate. The time that I devote to that relationship doesn't feel like enough. I sin way more than I should. I am inadequate. And so are you. You are inadequate. The things that you can do, the thoughts that you have, the things that you accomplish on your own fall short. I'm inadequate. You are inadequate. And that's okay. The title of my sermon this morning is Inadequate. I don't like to actually say the title of my sermon very much, but I need to this time. Inadequate means lacking the quality or quantity required, insufficient for a purpose. It is lacking the quality or the quantity of what is required and being insufficient for whatever the purpose. So when you don't have the skills that you need for something, or you don't have the tools that you need for something, or you're standing at the counter of a store without enough money in your account to cover the price of the thing that you're attempting to buy, you are inadequate. And those are sometimes big deal things. Has anybody ever gone to the store and found out that they didn't have enough money for what they were trying to get? A lot of times I use my cell phone to pay in most places at this point because our house is uncategorically unorganized, which I know you guys don't believe. But we just can't keep track of stuff. My phone, I can ring from anywhere. So I usually pay with my phone. But there are some places that I've gone into and, hey, we only take cash. I like cash. But there are times that I don't have it. I had to get some money from my sister the other day because we were at Stan's and was like, hey, I can't pay Stan's. You can only pay Stan's with a check or cash. I was inadequate. Anytime you fall short of the thing that you need to be doing, you are inadequate. And that's an incredibly uncomfortable feeling, to be inadequate. If your truck can't pull the thing that you're trying to pull, or you can't lift the thing that you're trying to lift, or you can't accomplish the thing that you're trying to accomplish, it is uncomfortable to find out that you are not enough. I was struggling with this the other day, and I want to say I would like to say that didn't lead to this sermon, except that after I dealt with it between me and the Lord, and I started praying about, okay, how are we going to handle Easter? This is the only word that I could think of. And so here we are. I was feeling totally and completely inadequate. There were things that were going on that were beyond my control, and I felt like I had to wrestle everything back together with my own strength and prove myself in it. And it was uncomfortable because I couldn't do any of that. You should know, uncomfortable is a common feeling for a Christian. If you are a follower of Jesus, being uncomfortable, hey buddy, can you go back there? Or you can hang out here with me. But you have to stand right here. I'll give you the option. Hang out with me or go back with Dad. All right. I don't know. It's a fidget. Go back with Dad. He's coming for you. I'm gonna go this way. Go back that way. It's okay. Good. For someone to be inadequate, there needs to be a standard that they're not meeting. For someone to be inadequate, there needs to be an expectation that they can't yet get to, which means there's a measurable goal. If there's not a goal, then there's nothing you're trying to get to. So many people, especially more recently, remove the goal from a lot of areas of their life. I'm not going to think about nutrition at all. I'm just not, there's no goal for nutrition in my life. I'm not trying to get anything. I can't fail at nutrition if I have no plan. The plan is, there is no plan. We can't fail at our job if we don't have a goal in our job. I'm just supposed to be here and be paid. You cannot fail at parenting your children if you have no goal for parenting your children. I just want them to survive. Well, as long as they're still breathing at 18, I guess you win. But some of us look at certain situations in our life and say, okay, I've got this, and this is the need. This is the goal. You can't fail if you don't try. And so a lot of people just get to that point where they say, I don't try. I'm not going to try. Because if I fail, then I'm uncomfortable. If I fall short, then I failed. Unfortunately, there is one standard, just one, that we cannot avoid. There is one standard in all of the universe that we cannot avoid. And it starts in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 17. It says, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for on the day that you eat it, you will certainly die. This was the one no instruction that was given to Adam and Eve in the garden. One no instruction. Just one. I tell my kids no about 7,000 times per day. No, 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 no. And I'm the one that says yes more in my house, actually. So Eden is at like 10,000 times a day per child. So, because I'm the one that says yes more often. Way back in the beginning, God created this standard that we all have to live up to, that he would have a certain standard of us as humans where we would follow him and listen to his instructions. And at the very first opportunity, we said, whoopsie daisy. And we failed. We had an expectation that in the very beginning we did not meet. And now, because we didn't do it then, we can't do it today. Adam and Eve failed in the garden, and every one of us has been failing ever since. And our sin has consequences. You will surely die. That's the end of that statement. When you do this, you will die. You will certainly die. Dying, you shall die. There's an ultimatum there in death. In the Old Testament, God established a way for his people to be reconciled. That way was animal sacrifices, which to us in a modern context sounds really grotesque. Think gross. It's like picking your nose with your toe and eating it. It's just really uncomfortable for everybody that's watching, right? He's going to understand. That's an image none of you will get out of your head now. We're raising kids. We got goals, too. And we're inadequate, so remember that. So God created this way for his people to be reconciled to him and for the land to be purified to him, and that was animal sacrifices. Think about if you came to church this morning and we drug some animals in, and in this table was a big stone table, and we killed an animal right here and let it bleed out all over the place. It's not a pleasant experience. It was necessary because the price had to be paid. Once the law was established, that was the law. And then we messed it up. So every year, God's people would sacrifice animals to restore their relationship with God and to purify the land. Only it had to mean something. God's requirement of those animals was that they were perfect. They were the best. They had a cost, a value to them. And every year, it lost a little more meaning. Until it meant so little to the people that God said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1. He said, "What are all your sacrifices to me?" asked the Lord. "I have had enough of your burnt offerings and rams and the fat of well-fed cattle. I have no desire for the blood of bulls, lambs, or male goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires this from you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing useless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me, new moons and Sabbaths and the calling of solemn assemblies. I cannot stand iniquity with a festival." He said, "I'm getting kind of tired of the things that you're doing. It doesn't seem to mean anything to you." He got to that point where he was no longer accepting their offering. When we are confronted with that standard, that the things that I do have consequences, it is uncomfortable. The reality that my sin requires death is uncomfortable, especially when I start thinking about what sin is. Because if the standard of what sin is and what sin isn't is just whether or not I'm following God and doing the things that he's told me to do, then every time I step outside of those boundaries, and I'm not following God and doing the things that he told me not to do, then I'm sinning. We get very uncomfortable and we realize that we are inadequate. The reality is sometimes it feels like I can't not sin. That's who I am. It's who I've always been. Them words slip out of my mouth. That's the way that I feel about those people. That's the way that I think about this class. That's the way that I handle these situations. I'm a sinful person. We realize that we're inadequate once we're faced with that standard. Even the things that we could bring, even that perfect ram that we've been raising so that it would be unblemished and it would be perfect when we could bring it to the offering, have become worthless because our heart is not in it. I am not enough. But God meets us in that moment. When we realize that I am not enough, when I realize that I am inadequate, God meets me in that moment to say, "But I am." He is adequate. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 24 say, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We know a lot about the book of Romans in this church. We spend a lot of time studying it. In those two passages, Paul gives us a picture of the gospel. As a direct response to our sin, our greatest inadequacy, God sent his son to die on the cross and to take care of it. Anybody ever been to the store and had somebody else pay for their stuff? It's a very humbling experience. It's a very gracious experience. I'm going to tell a quick story. This one time when I was a young person, I got I think it was a speeding ticket in the state of Illinois. And I showed up to handle that ticket, and I didn't have enough money in my pocket to handle it. And an unnamed saint who runs the projection in our church right now had covered and paid for that ticket for me as a young person. And that was an incredibly humbling experience because I was inadequate. I had done the sin. I was breaking the law in the state of Illinois, and they will catch you if you do that, in case you were wondering. Don't recommend speeding over there. I don't know. Marla has never told me that it was her, but she did work in the office in which the ticket was turned in, and then it suddenly was paid for, so I just have some assumptions. love you. We've actually never even talked about it. Not once. We have now. As a direct response to our sin, our greatest inadequacy, God sent his son to die on the cross to take care of it, to go into a situation where we are totally inadequate, and for God to just take care of it is incredible. And the reality is it had to be him. Because even if I wanted to, I don't make the cut. I can only offer my imperfect self. I'm full of sin. Nobody wants Adam sacrificed to nothing. I have no value in that. God sent his son because he was perfect, and I can only offer imperfect. And the price for sin then is never truly paid. The reality is we keep sinning anyway. I was sinning enough to deserve Jesus dying on the cross for me as a child. I've lived a long time since then. My sins have only gotten worse, more complicated, uglier. And then he rose from the grave. Jesus did not stay dead. He came back to life because that's who he is. Before coming to know Jesus, we live life inadequate. But if you know Jesus, he becomes our adequate. He becomes our enough. He is enough. He is the perfect sacrifice. He was the lamb who was slain. He is the Word of God, and he was with God, and he is God. He is the beginning and the end. He gives us then a new standard. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. And then we look at that standard and we shudder because that standard's hard too. That standard is too much. And even that standard, even, okay, my sin is paid for. Now looking at this new standard of now I got to follow Jesus and be like Jesus. Well, I'm starting to kind of know who Jesus is and what he looked like and how he acted and the way that he behaved in public. And then I see me behave in public. And at home. And I know I fall short in a lot of areas even today. Because I'm inadequate. To follow Jesus is really, this is not permission to sin, following Jesus is too hard for us to do without Jesus. It's the reality of the difference between our belief structure, our faith. I'm not just trying to be a perfect human. In fact, there's no hope for me to be a perfect human. As I live a life as a believer, as I grow closer and closer to Jesus, I'll start to look more and more like him. But the reality is, my goal is not to be perfect. It's to be more like Jesus every day until I die. And I know that that's too hard, and he helps me with it. To live a life for him is beyond what I can do. I'm inadequate. I can't love my wife like Christ loved the church. I can't tell people about Jesus. It makes me uncomfortable. I can't raise children to know God in their heart. I can't work a job in the way that honors God. I can't serve in the church and give all my time and my money. I am inadequate. I struggle. I don't have enough in me to do the things that God has called me to do. Thankfully, God says, but I am. God called Moses out of shepherding to speak to the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh. And it's a funny story to me because, and I'll tell you in a second. Exodus chapter 4, we find God talking to Moses. And he tells him he's going to go, I need you to go talk to Pharaoh. And Moses replied to the Lord and he said, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past or recently, or since you have been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish. This is funny to me because he didn't happen to mention that the only thing that you've given me so far, God, is a stick. I have this stick and I don't talk good. You're asking a blubbering idiot to go talk to the ruler of the world, as we know it at that time. Please, don't ask me to do that. I'm not prepared to do that. In fact, you could have, creating me, made me a better public speaker, but you didn't, so maybe send someone else. Because neither when I was a kid, nor recently as an adult, or even since we started talking together, have I gotten any better at this talking thing that you're asking me to do. He struggled. Me too. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, we see the calling of Jeremiah. Moses, I'm sorry, I want to say this. Moses felt in that moment inadequate. He didn't have it in him to do what God was calling him to do. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, we find another situation where God is calling somebody to do something. He says, the word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart when you were born, before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah is responding. He said, but I protested. Oh no, Lord God. Look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth. This is two people in a row where God has said, hey, I'm calling you to do big things. And those people said, I don't talk so good. I don't have it in me. I can't say the things that you want me to say. He called Jeremiah as a prophet to the nations, and his response was, I am too young for this. I am not old enough for this. You said the nations? You seen all the gray hair in the nations? They're not going to listen to me. I ain't got it. In Judges chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, we see God calling Gideon. The Lord turned to him and he said, go in the strength that you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you. His response to him, he said to him, please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's family. Gideon said, listen, I'm the youngest, and my family, they don't have nothing either. You're asking me, the smallest of the small, in this town ain't nobody heard of or cared about. You're asking me to go deliver Israel. You want me to take them a package? Deliver to Israel? Are you calling Israel something different now? Is this FedEx? Deliver? These people who God used in incredible ways, these mighty heroes of our faith, knew themselves to be inadequate. They looked at themselves and they said, hey, listen, I ain't got it. I know what you're asking me to do. I ain't got it. I checked my wallet. It's not there. I checked my hands. It's not there. It's not in my brain. I can't. My tongue is already tied up, and I'm just speaking to you. And that may just be in my mind. I don't know. I'm not even talking to you well. They struggled with their own not enoughs. And yet they were met with the same response from God. In each one of these situations, if you read those passages, God says, I am with you. You're not going on your own. I've given you the strength to do this. I've given you the ability to do this. I'm giving you the words to say in this. I'm giving you the things that you need to accomplish this. You can do this because I am with you. Paul explained it in this very plain language in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are Christ's letter, delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ before God. It is not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. He has made us competent to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He said, listen, I didn't share the gospel with you on my own. I don't need you to prove to me who I am. I don't need you to send letters out talking about how great I am. I don't need anybody to send you letters about how great I am because I didn't do it. The only thing that I accomplished in Corinth, Paul says, was given to me by God. We don't need to prove anything. We're not competent in ourselves. We don't claim anything coming from ourselves. Nothing is possible on our own. Our adequacy is from God. He has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant. God gives us the things that we need in the moment that we need it to do the things that He's called us and required us to do. We don't do any of this on our own. We don't have salvation on our own. We didn't do this. We didn't build this. We didn't do it on our own. We have a small part to play in that there had to be human hands making something happen. Maybe. Or God could have decided to do it with a spiritual hand. He could have done it and just spoke it into existence like He did so many other things. I am inadequate. You are not enough. But He is. We celebrate this morning who Jesus is, what He accomplished, who He has positioned Himself to be for us. And He meets us in our situation to say, I've got this. I'll help you in this. I have given you everything that you need. If you're hearing my voice this morning, you're in one of two places. You might be in a place where you have no relationship with Jesus. Some of the things that I've said this morning might not make any sense to you. You may say, hey, listen, that is weird. Animal sacrifices, weird. Everything you said since then, weird. If that's you this morning, I want to introduce you to my Lord. He is more than sufficient to meet our needs. He is more than sufficient to provide salvation and everything that comes after that. So much more during your life as a believer. I can't be a believer in Jesus without Jesus. Eternity with Him is promised. Heaven is promised. Paradise is promised. The things that we have in eternity are promised. But today, He walks with me today. The things that I need today are provided for me by him today. So that when he asks me to do something, when he instructs me to do something, when I'm called to do something, and I say, yeah, we'll do that. Everything else falls into place and God handles it. And it is uncomfortable. Every time God has asked us to do anything, it's been uncomfortable. If the things that we've talked about so far this morning don't make any sense to you, I want to introduce you to the Jesus that I serve. Because he is a living God. He's risen from the cross. He's defeated death in the grave. And you are inadequate. You have fallen short of the glory of God. You have sinned in your life. You don't make the cut. You can't pay the price for your own sin. You will pay everything that you have. Because the price is required. And it's either paid by you or it's paid by Jesus. If you don't know the Lord, I want to introduce you to him. If you do have a relationship with Jesus, this is that second group of people. We are still inadequate, in case you're wondering. And our response is to dwell with the one who is adequate. We boast in him who created us and makes good enough. We boast in God who gives us the things to do the things and provides the things. So here's the hard part. For those of us who are serving the Lord, if you don't know Jesus and you want to come to know him, I want to have that conversation with you. We will meet at another time and I'll share everything that I can to make sure that you understand what you're getting into. It's not fair to not share all of it. If you do know the Lord, even though we are inadequate, say yes. When God asks us to do something, this is the hard part of the process. When God asks you to do something that sounds crazy, but I don't talk so good, say yes. When he directs us to go somewhere, hey, there's this town, Nineveh. You ever heard of Nineveh? You should go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to, you should go to Nineveh. You can go in a boat or this other option to Nineveh. When he directs us to go somewhere, say yes. When he leads us into something, say yes. When he requires things of us, say yes. When he requires us to change, say yes. And he's going to require all of that. And it's going to be weird and uncomfortable and difficult. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, the hardest thing about me transitioning from being an atheist into being a Christian was when I realized that God was real, I also realized that I had to change. And I said, yep. It's pretty cool. Your whole world is kind of shaken upside down. You figure out that God is real and he has an expectation of who you are. Yeah, you don't get to just be whoever you want. That's kind of the deal. But this is better. And he helps us and he gives us, he provides for us all of the things that we need to get there. When God asks us to do something, say yes. Yeah, God, I'll do that. This will be fun. I have no idea how to do what you're asking me to do. I don't have the tools, the money, the skills, the equipment. I don't have anything at all to do what you've asked me to do, and I'm going to do it. Are you sure that I'm okay? That conversation between you and the Lord can play out in a number of different ways, as long as it gets to the same point it got to with Moses and Gideon and Jeremiah. Where we go. And no, you're not adequate. You might only have a stick. to go see Pharaoh. See what God does with a stick. See what God does with a stick. Because he is enough. We are inadequate. But we can be inadequate. Where we are on our own, we lack the quality or the quantity required. I can't do anything on my own. We are insufficient for our purpose. But with him, with Jesus, I can dwell within the one who has the quality. I can dwell with the one who is sufficient and who gives me purpose. That's the direction that we want to be going in our lives. Today is Easter Sunday. We're 3 days past the time where Jesus died on the cross because I couldn't do it on my own. We're celebrating the day that Jesus rose from the dead because I couldn't do that on my own. We're celebrating all the things that he accomplishes and promised in that because I couldn't do any of that on my own. And looking forward to a life with him of, I got this stick. Yes, Lord. I'll go. I don't speak so good, so you'll have to help me. But I will go. I will do. If we become a people who is more confident in saying yes, more confident in the Lord, to say yes to the things that he asks us, God can do some incredible things. My life has been directed by a series of, okay, yes, I guess we'll do that. Some people are laughing because we got stories. Some of you know some of those stories. And it's been good. So, we are inadequate. We can dwell with the one who gives us everything that we need. If you don't know him, I want to share him with you because I can't imagine living life without him. As a regular human, as just an attempting parent or attempting husband, I would fail even without the spiritual side of life. I need his help in all of those things, and it's available to us. If you do know the Lord, I encourage you to say yes and do the things that he's calling us to do where we feel like, I don't have that in me. He does. Amen? Let's pray. God, you started this with sending your son to die on the cross, and you finished it by raising him from the dead so that he sits at your right hand. God, I thank you that you would love us so much that you sent your son, that you would love us so much that you would send your Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to walk with us, and to give us everything that we need. God, I thank you that you would be with us in every day, in every situation that we're in. That where we fall short, you fill the gap. That in our weakness, your strength is perfected. That in our shortcomings, you are made great. God, we thank you for all of those things. God, I ask that you would go with us throughout the rest of this week, throughout the rest of this year, as Christians living in a world who is seemingly more and more against us, where we feel sometimes more and more inadequate to share the gospel, to do the things that you've called us to do. God, give us a boldness to say yes when you've asked us to do something. God, give us more difficult tasks to accomplish, so that we can glorify you more and more every day. God, I ask for blessings to pour out on each one of them that is here today and the households that are represented. I ask for peace in homes. I ask for restoration in relationships. I ask for things to come together in such a way that you would be glorified in every situation that's represented here today. God, we ask for healing for those who need it. We ask for peace in everywhere that we go. ask for provision and health and everything else that you've promised us, God, in your word. God, we thank you for everything that you're doing here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.